Amen and amen. Expectations. Let's say that together. Expectations. I think that everyone has expectations to some degree or another. Everyone has expectations to some degree or another. Whether those expectations are spoken or unspoken. And from a natural perspective, underline natural, from a natural perspective, expectations can be high or low. From a natural perspective, expectations can be reasonable or unreasonable. From a natural perspective, expectations can be realistic or unrealistic, wouldn't you say? But most importantly, as professed, born-again, devoted followers of Jesus Christ, our expectations should be in alignment, catch this now, with the life application of biblical truth and biblical principles. Amen?
Amen.
Along with a biblical worldview and an eternal perspective of not only our lives, but for the lives of others and the people around us. Amen?
Amen.
And so as born-again believers, our expectations should be based in what we've come to properly understand and believe what the Bible has to say. Amen?
Yeah.
Along with whatever our life experiences have been, with the situations and circumstances involving the various relationships in our lives. That plays a factor, or plays a role, I should say, in forming our expectations. What experiences have we had? Various situations and circumstances in our lives, involving the various relationships and the people in our lives. Coming to a proper understanding and belief and what the Bible has to say about all that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
As born-again, devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we have a personal relationship with God the Father by the working of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And because He is perfectly faithful and He is all-knowing and He is all-powerful, we can always expect that He has good plans for us.
Amen.
We can always expect, because He is perfectly faithful and we have a personal relationship and He is all-knowing and He is all-powerful, we can always expect that He has plans for hope and a good future.
Amen.
That He has plans for hope and a good future and not for calamity or harm. Amen?
Amen.
And that's according to Jeremiah 29:11. As born-again, devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we indeed have a personal relationship with God the Father by the working of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And because God is perfectly faithful and He is all-knowing and He is all-powerful, we can always expect,
amen,
that He will cause all things to work together for our greater good.
That's right.
According to His Word in Romans 8:28, do you really believe that here today?
Yes. Amen.
As born-again, devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we have a personal relationship with God the Father by the working of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And because God is perfectly faithful and He is all-knowing and He is all-powerful, we can always expect that He will never leave us. We can always expect that He will never fail us.
Amen.
We can always expect that He will never abandon us. Amen?
Amen?
Do you believe that here today according to Hebrews 13:5?
Yes. Amen.
I decree a fresh impartation of that truth to your heart and mind today to encourage you and to establish you further in the faith, the promises of God by His Word. But our expectations for our relationships with other people in our lives may vary. How many of you here have some varied expectations and various expectations for different people in your life? Anybody here other than me have different expectations depending on whether or not the person is a believer? Depending on what the person's track record is? Depending on repeating patterns of behavior and what those repeating patterns of behavior have been? That'll affect our expectations, won't it? We certainly should have a higher expectation for professed believers. Amen?
Amen.
And we should always expect the best from everyone. But catch this now. We may have to reset our expectations of others depending on what they've demonstrated they're willing or unwilling to do. We may have to reset our expectations of others depending on what they're capable or incapable of doing. We may have to reset our expectations of others depending upon how reliable or unreliable they've demonstrated themselves to be. Can anybody say amen with me on that?
Amen.
Now, it doesn't mean that we stop expecting the best for them.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that we stop encouraging them to be the best that they can be by biblical standards. But functionally speaking, catch this now, you can only go so far relationally with certain people while still maintaining your integrity and clear conscience before the Lord.
That's right.
Has anybody here other than me ever experienced that in your relationships in your life?
Yes, absolutely.
Our expectations can become flawed when we stray away from biblical truth and biblical principles.
Right.
It may be a subtle thing in our relationships with other people, but our expectations can become flawed even as believers when we stray away from biblical truth and biblical principles, allowing ourselves to get our hopes up based on assumptions and biases from our past experiences. And along these lines, we can form expectations in our mind without any conscious effort because we've been conditioned along certain lines. And sometimes our expectations are based on the past conditioning of our mindset that have nothing to do with biblical truth or biblical principles. Anybody here other than me experienced that in your life or discover that in your life? I have. I've had to rework some things so that my expectations would be more in line with biblical truth and biblical principles and how I handle the relationships around me. Make no mistake about it. Anytime there is mutual dependency in a relationship, expectations exist. Be it husband or wife relationship, be it a parent-child relationship, be it a boss or employee relationship or ministry partners, be it friends or members of a sports team, flawed expectations can create conflict in any relationship. And catch this now, key point, especially when the expectations are not communicated ahead of time.
Right.
How many of you here have run into some of the traps?
Yes.
That relates to expectations. You're expecting something from someone, but you haven't communicated to them what the expectation is. We'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. Maybe you've experienced this as I have. Many times our expectations are formed by what our family dynamic was growing up. If you grew up in a family where shouting and open conflict was the normal way to resolve an issue, you may likely expect that shouting is the indicator that there's a problem. But if a person's personality is more introverted and introspective, they might more naturally prefer to hide their emotions and be less expressive. And so you might conclude that if they're not shouting yet, then the issue must not be that serious. When in reality, they may find it impossible to convince you that you're irritating them because they're not shouting at you. Anybody here ever run across some of this yourself? I have to say that I've been the culprit in that, because in my family growing up, we were very loud and expressive people. Everything was poured out onto the table in the open. And I had to learn how to rein that in and recondition that. The Spirit of God is stirring afresh in our midst today, I believe, to help us form expectations that will improve our effectiveness, by biblical standards in dealing with the expectations of others. Make no mistake about it. Communication is the cornerstone to begin building an understanding of one another's expectations. And catch this now. It's always best to disclose what our expectations are ahead of time in order to discover where there may be flawed or unacceptable expectations ahead of time. Be motivated afresh today that openness and honesty with ourselves and openness and honesty with others is an essential key to understanding expectations. And if need be, catch this now, reworking our expectations for the greater good of the relationship, to glorify God in our lives by biblical standard. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
We might have to rework our expectations for the greater good of the relationship, to glorify God by biblical standard. But even with the best of intentions and expectations, there are times when we unintentionally or inadvertently fail others. And when we do so, catch this now, it's essential to readily admit where we have fallen short. How many of you here with me find that hard to do? Anybody here find it hard to get to that person and say, I missed it? For some of us, it's more challenging than others. But when we find that we've unintentionally or inadvertently failed others, it's essential to readily admit where we have fallen short and then take the next step to readily seek to make it right with one another as far as we are able. To readily seek to make it right with the person that we're in relationship with as far as we are able. To make it right with them by biblical standard. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Catch this now. Don't assume what the other person's expectations are. Don't assume what the other person's expectations are, or that they somehow know what you expect if it hasn't been communicated. How many of you have gotten into trouble with that other than me? You think someone expects you to be a certain way, or it's just unspoken, and then the expectation's not met, and you're pulling your hair out. Anybody here pull some hair out?
Yes.
People in your life. They pull their hair out about you, too. Just so that you know. The Spirit of God is stirring afresh in our midst today to alert us, to admonish us, and to caution us that when expectations are not met, we can run the risk of disappointment and even painful discouragement that can flood our emotions and even distort our perspective for the future. I've seen this happen in some people's lives, even as believers. Maybe you've experienced this as I have, that when our expectations are not met, we can find ourselves blaming others who did not live up to our expectations. How many of you here have been in the blame game other than me? Anybody here blaming one person or the other? And at times, even going so far as to blaming God. At times, even going so far as to blaming God, even when our expectations were flawed or misguided. When our expectations are not met, we can find ourselves disappointed even with God. Anybody here ever been in that place other than me? Let's take a look at the meaning of the word disappointment. It means a feeling of dissatisfaction when one's hopes, desires, and expectations fail to come to pass. Make no mistake about it. Disappointment with God is not necessarily wrong or sinful in and of itself. But if left unchecked and unresolved, if left unchecked, if your disappointment with God is left unchecked or unresolved, then you run the risk of that disappointment becoming a sinful attitude towards God. And even an angry rebellion against Him. Well, you know, God, you didn't do that for me when I wanted you to do it, and so I'm not going to do this. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out.
That's right.
If God doesn't perform in the manner that we think He should, we can find ourselves becoming disillusioned with Him.
Right.
Questioning His sovereign goodness and faithfulness. Which, if left unchecked, will run the risk of us falling away from the faith and rendering us useless for God's purposes. I've seen this happen in believers' lives, and it grieves my heart. When God does not act when and how we think He should, it's certainly not because He's unable to do so. When God doesn't act when and how we think He should, it's certainly not because He's dealing with you arbitrarily or inconsistently, although it can feel like that. But rather, the exact opposite is true. God chooses to act or not act in His time and in His way, according to His perfectly holy and specific will for your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
In order to bring about the greater good of His righteous purposes in you, for His greatest glory through you. Amen. Your life is not your own. Your life is not your own. Your life is not your own. You were bought with a price, and you were created by Him and for His glory.
Amen.
That He would be glorified in and through you.
Amen.
According to His perfect will for your life, in His time and in His way. Amen.
Amen.
Just decreeing that afresh each and every day helps you to have expectations that are in alignment with biblical truth. Amen?
Amen.
Make no mistake about it. Nothing happens that God doesn't allow or disallow. He is in perfect sovereign control of all things, even though it may not feel like it sometimes. But there are times in the short run of our lives, and maybe you've experienced this as I have, there are times in the short run of our lives when we may not understand why He's allowing us to be disappointed. I don't understand, Lord. I'm believing You in faith. I'm expecting on You in faith. Why are You allowing me to be disappointed? Even when I'm believing You in faith on Your word. Anybody here feel like that other than me? God, by His Spirit, is stirring to motivate each of us afresh today to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Don't turn away from Him. Seek the Lord. Draw near to Him with your expectations. Call upon Him to reason it out with you. Understanding that His thoughts and His ways are higher than our thoughts and ways and beyond anything that we could ever imagine, because He is all-knowing and we're not. He is all-knowing, and we're not. You are all-knowing, and I'm not. Let's say that together. You are all-knowing, and I'm not. God sees the future before you even get there. And He's going to allow and disallow things now in this moment for what He already sees in the future that you don't yet see. Amen?
Amen.
And so sometimes we can understand what He's doing, and sometimes we don't. But catch this now. One thing that we can always know for sure is that we belong to Him. Amen?
Amen?
And that whatever He allows or disallows in our lives will be to our benefit.
Amen.
Whether or not we understand it all now in this life, we can thoroughly expect, we can thoroughly expect, we can thoroughly expect that He will make it all perfectly clear to us in full in the life to come. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Not all of the fullness of God's promises are going to be realized in this life. That helps me to keep my expectations with an eternal perspective. Amen?
Amen.
In the meantime, we can rest in the peace that He will reveal what we need to know along the way in His time and in His way. Amen? God, by His Spirit, is stirring in our flesh today, stirring afresh in our midst today. The Spirit of God moving afresh in our midst, stirring our hearts that as born-again believers, we need to take good care, that our expectations do not become acculturated. In many ways, living in the American culture conditions us to expect results the way we want it and when we want it. Have it your way. That was a slogan for Burger King at one time. Have it your way. Have it your way. And in our culture, we can have almost anything. We can have almost anything so quickly and conveniently now. Everything is faster and faster and faster. Computers, phones and internet, 3G, 4G, 5G, Instagram. Megabyte, kilobyte, terabyte, Grubhub. Movies on demand. In and of themselves can be good things. But watch out, watch out, watch out that our expectations are not becoming acculturated by what we've come to be conditioned to in the culture that we live in. Instant gratification and instant results is what we've become accustomed to in our culture, and that can be good. But we need to guard against the acculturation of our expectations from an Americanized version of Christianity. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves demanding God to do one thing or another for us. God, by His Spirit, is cautioning each of us afresh today to take good care, to guard your attitude from becoming demanding of God and your expectations. Even when we're expecting God to fulfill His promises to us, no, catch this now, no demand that we would place upon God overrides His sovereign, providential foresight for our lives. Amen?
Amen.
No demand that we could place upon God. And our disappointment with respect to His expectation, our expectations of Him in our lives, no demand that we would place upon God overrides His sovereign, providential foresight for our lives. Amen?
Amen.
It's like a parent who promised their toddler child XYZ. Let's call the promise XYZ. Everybody say XYZ. XYZ. So here's a parent, and they promised their toddler child XYZ. But then the circumstances change in some way or another. Uh-oh. The parent foresees something that the toddler doesn't. And so the parent withholds promise XYZ for now. For now. Let's say that together. For now. The toddler becomes angry and demanding. But you promised me XYZ. And the temper tantrum ensues, and the intended blessing becomes a spanking. Sometimes the fulfillment of the promise has a precondition attached to it. The parent promises the toddler that he can have ice cream if he finishes his vegetables. But the toddler isn't interested in vegetables. And so there won't be any ice cream. Amen? And even when the precondition of the promise is met, the timing of the fulfilled promise may not meet the toddler's expectation timeline. I want my ice cream now! Really? Well, let's wait until the broccoli settles a bit in your stomach. Otherwise, you'll get a bellyache. No, I want my ice cream now. Go get it for me right now. Excuse me? You'll get the ice cream I promised you when I know it'll be best for you. So settle down with your attitude or else you'll get nothing for dessert. Anybody here, as a parent, ever been in that place? Well, here's the point if you haven't gotten it already. The key to avoiding disappointment with God is to align our will with His. And to submit to His perfect will for our lives in all things.
Amen.
Be motivated afresh today that the more consistently we do so, the less prone we will be to becoming disappointed with the God-appointed outcomes for our expectations. The more thoroughly surrendered we are to God's appointed outcomes for expectations, the less likely we will be to grumble and complain about whatever may be going on in the dynamic of our lives. Grumble, 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 grumble. I was reminded of the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. After being delivered from 400 years of enslavement to Egypt, the Israelites griped and questioned God on several occasions while in the desert. Despite having seen miraculous displays of His power by way of the parting of the Red Sea, the provision of manna and quail in the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord that followed them in the form of a pillar of fire, nothing short of amazing. Amen? But despite God's continual faithfulness to His people, they grumbled, complained, and were disappointed with God. And catch this now. It was because He didn't meet their expectations as they thought He should meet their expectations.
Amen.
And so rather than being content with submitting to His perfect will and trusting in His ways, they were in a continual state of recurring disappointed turmoil, and it cost them dearly.
That's right. Yes.
Their chronic, grumbling disappointment with God caused them to forfeit the fullness of God's intended blessing for their lives.
That's right.
And if we're not careful with our attitude toward God, we too can find ourselves in that same condition. But when we make a choice, it's a choice. But when we make a choice to align our free will with God's perfect will, like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane from Luke chapter 22, verse 42, in the face of imminent suffering and death, catch this now, imminent suffering and death that was contrary to common sense expectations for a Messiah king, Jesus' decree of total surrender was this: Father in heaven, if You are willing, please take this cup of suffering from Me, yet not My will, but Yours be done. And as the story goes, God allowed Jesus to be tortured and to suffer and to die. But on the other side of that, God-appointed suffering was the resurrection and ascension. Amen?
Amen?
For our greater good and Jesus' greatest glory. Amen?
Amen?
And so when we can say unwaveringly what Jesus said in the garden, then we will find the kind of contentment that the Apostle Paul spoke about in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. That a life that has surrendered its expectations to God's perfect will, a life that has surrendered its expectations to God's perfect will, is a life of true godliness with great gain.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
And from Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12, that a life that is surrendered to the God-appointed outcomes for our expectations would be a life that gains the secret of being content in every situation, with whatever God would send our way, with whatever He would allow or disallow, knowing that a perfectly holy and righteous and loving and merciful God would work all things together for our greater good and for His greatest glory. Amen?
Amen.
So when we process our expectations in these ways. In these ways, let's say that together. In these ways, then we safeguard ourselves against grumbling and disillusionment with how God is responding to our expectations. And we will find ourselves like the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Joyful and thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer reflection now as the word of the Lord has come to you today.